Welcome to Tahoe Project. I'm your host, Michelle Sweeney, and today's interview is with Robert Larson, staff environmental scientist at the Lahontan Regional Water Quality Control Board. Thanks for being here today, Bob.
Thanks for having me.
So I'd like to talk to you about the total maximum daily load and specifically about the Regional Water Quality Control Board, or the Water Board's relationship to Tahoe. The Water Board has jurisdiction over a very large area, but today's conversation is about Tahoe and water quality and the role of this agency. So how many years have you been at Lahontan?
I've worked for the Water Board for a little over 10 years now. I started as a student assistant back in the mid-1990s and got a full-time staff position starting in around 2000, so a little over 10 years.
So your time here at Lahontan essentially spans the time that the TMDL, the total maximum daily load, for Tahoe has been in development, and basically since the first days where there was discussion here about it.
Yeah, I think the project started in 2002 or thereabouts, and I wasn't involved with the direct development of the TMDL until about 2005. But I was working on erosion control and stormwater treatment projects with local government and other efforts in the Tahoe Basin during that time.
So it's interesting, when you walk into the Lahontan front office area, there's some redecorating that's gone on there. And I noticed that the plaque that's up on the wall says, "We agree to implement the steps required to restore Lake Clarity to a depth of 71 feet by 2016, 78 feet by 2026, and 97.4 feet by 2076. Given that the TMDL is all about water clarity and this commitment to these incremental steps, what has changed in the role of this agency vis-a-vis Lake Tahoe and the agencies that you regulate?
I don't know that much has changed per se in our relationships, other than our agency has, with the TMDL, our agency has taken more of a leadership role in trying to evaluate the cause of transparency loss and take a more active role in trying to identify potential solutions for doing something about it. I think that in the past, we were more in a top-down regulatory role of just asking people to figure it out and do something about it, where the TMDL, I think, provided us with the opportunity to be more involved in that process, to engage with the scientific community as well as our implementing partners to figure out, to better understand the problem and to better understand what the potential solutions might be, to be a more active partner in the restoration of Lake Tahoe's transparency.
So a more active partner. Can you just describe for us the span of the jurisdictions that you interact with in the implementation of this TMDL?
Sure. We're a California state regulatory agency, so our jurisdiction is just on the California side of the Tahoe Basin. On the California side, there are three municipal jurisdictions. There's El Dorado County, Placer County, and the city of South Lake Tahoe. The city is the only incorporated city in the basin, and they're a subdivision more or less of El Dorado County, but there are those three municipal jurisdictions that we deal with. In addition, the California Department of Transportation maintains the highway system throughout the basin. So those are the primary permittees or jurisdictions that we regulate in the Tahoe Basin that we work with to address stormwater problems from the urbanized area of Lake Tahoe.
And you indicated that the major shift that comes with the TMDL is that in relationship to those agencies, Lahontan, the Water Board, now sees itself as more of a proactive partner in addressing water clarity issues at Lake Tahoe. What can you hone in on that for us a little bit? What does that mean in the day-to-day of your interaction with those jurisdictions, and how is that different from, say, a decade ago before the TMDL?
I think it's interesting, there are two sides to the coin. So I think a decade ago our regulatory structure was a bit more rigid. We had stringent concentration-based effluent limits that require the jurisdictions to treat all of their stormwater to mimic background conditions, essentially, to treat it to water that was running off the forested area.
I'm going to ask you to stop for a second. You said you used two terms there, concentration-based effluent limits.
Yes.
Can you just tell us a little bit?
Sure.
Sort of drilled that down into everyday language for us.
So concentration-based effluent limits refer to specific numbers that we required all stormwater runoff to meet. So for turbidity, or the level of dirt in the water, for lack of better description there, there was a number of 20 that every jurisdiction had to treat their water to meet that very low number. Same thing for nutrients, nitrogen and phosphorus. They had to treat all of their storm water or make sure that actions were taken to achieve a certain value of their stormwater runoff.
That water went into the lake.
Before that water went into the lake or was discharged to other other ground infiltration systems. And those numbers were, again, rather rigid. They didn't have the flexibility to acknowledge the variation in precipitation, whether it was a big winter or a small winter or a heavy storm or a light storm. And it didn't acknowledge the volume of water, whether it was a small trickle going into the lake or a big, or flow coming out of the Upper Truckee River. So it really was sort of a narrowly focused regulatory approach. While we were very specific in how that water needed to be, what the quality of that water needed to be, we weren't very helpful or did not provide a lot of information as to how to do that. So while I've said that we have provided a more partnership role in how things should be done, at the same time, we've also been working more with our partners to give them more of a say in what that looks like, I guess. So there's kind of two sides to that coin in terms of providing them with a number of alternatives and options and tools to demonstrate their progress, while at the same time giving local government the opportunity to be in the driver's seat a bit more to figure out how to use those tools and opportunities in a way that best suits their jurisdiction.
So it sounds like you mentioned partnership, and it also sounds more conversational.
It is a lot more conversational, I think, than it's been in the past, where, again, we've given local government the different tools to demonstrate how things that they want to do, whether it's bike path projects or other, stormwater treatment projects, and giving them an opportunity to show how those things can improve water quality in a way that directly influences Lake Tahoe's transparency, rather than just holding them to a hard and fast specific number on runoff water quality that didn't have a strong relationship to improvement in the lake.
Thanks. This has been part one in the interview with Robert Larson, staff scientist at the Lahontan Regional Water Quality Control Board. Thank you for listening at Tahoe Project.